Just so that I think we did this last year. Start with you, Dean. Just say who you are.
Hi, I'm Dean Sawyer, City Council.
Hi, I'm Chuck Fornash, gallery owner and frame shop owner in South Beach and in Newport.
Okay, Laura Swanson, counselor.
Patricia Patrick Jolie.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Hi. Mark Phelan, counselor.
Ralph Lutton, Council.
Fred Springsteen, resident.
David Allen, City Councilor.
Robert Smith, I'm assistant football and track coach at Newport High and Semper Parada Society and work for the Coast Guard.
Sandy Romagoo, Mayor.
Janet Webster, I'm the interim director of the Hatfield Marine Science Center as well as the librarian and a resident of Newport.
Dick Beamer, Council.
Willie Olson.
David Marshall, Finance Director. Jim Boker, City Manager.
Vicki Hawker, City Reporter.
I would now open for nominations for the Chair of the Budget Committee.
Well, I'd like to nominate Robert Smith since he's been doing a very nice job for the past several years. And I did check with him before tonight's meeting to see if he still wanted it. And
I second.
He said yes.
Did you second it?
Then moved and seconded that Robert Smith. Be nominated, and with that, I am assuming nominations are closed. Any more nominations?
I didn't hear any objections.
I didn't hear any objections. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome, Dr. Smith.
Thank you. We have moved an item up on the agenda. It is the public comment session, 3 minutes, please. And if you're at the 3 minute mark, I'll kindly let you know. We have three distinguished citizens here tonight to make a public comment. Each one of these individuals has been a long term contributor to our society, and it's worth our while to listen to their words. First up will be David Bigelow from the Samaritan Public Health Services. He will be speaking in reference to economic development.
Thank you. I'm David Bigelow, the CEO of Samaritan Pacific Health Services. I'm here to ask for your support for the recommended economic development line item in the 2013-2014 budget. Should that line item be retained, we will return and request funding for the Center for Health Education, which will be built on the campus of Samaritan Pacific Communities Hospital. The 12,000 square foot, two-story Art Deco facility will be constructed on Highway 101 frontage on property owned by the Pacific Communities Health District. The purpose of this center is to help people prevent illness and manage chronic conditions to improve the quality of life while lowering the cost of care. Poor lifestyle choices can precipitate chronic conditions, the leading cause of death and disability nationwide, which accounts for 75% of the healthcare costs, according to the National Council on Aging. The Lincoln County ranks poorly in health behaviors. number 29 out of 33 Oregon counties. Poor lifestyle choices contribute to diseases such as diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. Improving health-related behaviors cannot be addressed simply by medical intervention alone. The Center for Health Education will become a rallying point for wellness and preventive activities in our community. We'd like to speak directly to the economic impact of the project. The center will be equipped to accommodate medical conferences of up to 200 attendees, attracting visitors to our area. We calculate that one two-day conference can result in $16,000 in local restaurant meals and overnight stays in our hotels. The hospital is one of the county's largest employers, providing living wage jobs with comprehensive benefits, even to part-time workers. An on-site training facility would create a full-time job for an educational coordinator and a part-time job for a librarian. It would enhance the skills of our current medical staff, which can lead to offering additional clinical services in Newport, and make our local hospital a more attractive place to work, which can help us attract and retain quality clinical staff. The stronger the staff, the better the hospital. And every realtor could tell you that a quality hospital is critical to people interested in relocating in Newport. Construction of the center over a 9-month period would result in a full range of construction-related jobs for local carpenters, plumbers, electricians, and painters. The center will also encourage local health-related practitioners and organizations to develop programs of interest to both visitors and community members. Just as the Newport Performing Arts Center provides a venue for entertainment of all kinds, the Center for Health Education will offer space for a variety of health-related programs and activities.
3 minutes.
As I stated earlier, chronic conditions account for 75% of our healthcare costs. We believe that the center will help us reduce healthcare costs for residents of our community. The total cost of the project is $2.5 million. Recently, Lincoln County awarded a $10,000 economic development grant. The health district will allocate $1 million, and community members and employees have donated $900,000. We would love to see the city of Newport be a part of making the Center for Health Education a reality. Thank you for considering retention of an economic development line item in the budget.
Thank you, David. Appreciate that.
Just David, since you did prepare written comments,
yes.
If you don't have extra copies, it'd be nice to have extra copies and give a copy to our city recorder as part of the permanent record.
I'd be happy to do that.
Next up on the agenda for the public commentary is Catherine Rickbone. She's going to address the PAC on and other management issues.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much on this. So what I'm here this evening about, I'm the executive director of the Oregon Coast Council for the Arts. And I'd like to update you on the OCCA management of the PAC and the VAC, and ask for continued support in that endeavor. With the funds that OCCA receives in this management contract, we are able to, through economic development and tourism, to leverage your investment, your return on investment of 684%. So that $769,136 in economic development and cultural tourism happens in this town due to management and wise use of resources at the Visual Arts Center and the Performing Arts Center. And I do have a management highlights with ROI information and attendance figures to share with you on that, so I can get that passed around. So we appreciate this partnership of City and Oregon Coast Council for the Arts. Also want to another update. Some of you may not be aware that OCCA has entered in a $4.4 million capital campaign. And by the end of this year, 2013, we will have leveraged over $1 million that is being used to upgrade this city building, the Newport Performing Arts Center. So moving forward, it is critical that we have a stable source of funding for the management of the services that we give so that we can talk to our grantors and donors about that, and so that they know that there is city support for the management services that are being done. And also that this capital campaign, which will be on over a five-year period, is improving one of your assets, which is the Newport Performing Arts Center. So I would like, could we start these around, and you can just have this to look over. It gives attendance figures at the PAC and the VAC, as well as indicating dollar amount of tourism activity and economic development that the Performing Arts Center and the Visual Arts Center bring in to this, you know, to this town and to this county and community. So again, we appreciate this partnership and look forward to continued support. And I might say that the Newport Vision 2020 talks about that the community takes a great pride in the Performing Arts Center and recognizes it as a source for developing the economy and enhancing quality of life. The arts community stands out as one of the major industry clusters in Newport, contributing to the attractiveness of the community for potential businesses and residences alike. And tourists choose to come and look not only at recreational opportunities, but also arts and cultural opportunities. Thank you very much for your listening and your attention.
Thank you. Will you raise your hand if you have been to the PAC or the VAC in the last year? Would you please? All right, that's significant. Look around. Right. So you're not unknown, my dear.
I'm out to the hospital.
Not as a patient. All right, very good. Got me on that one. We also have a commentary from Linda Negebauer on the Newport City Loop bus transport.
You are always so eloquent.
Raise your hand if you've been on a bus. Anybody ride the bus here? One, two, okay.
Well, just ask if they know about it. Yeah, we are still very much married to our cars. The Newport City Loop started in 2007. It was a free service that was created through Lincoln County Transit after the Nye Beach Merchant Association had attended a council meeting talking about the parking problem. Senator Bruce, the administrator of Lincoln County Transit, was able to get a grant to fund service for that first year. At the end of that, we asked for some funding from the City of Newport, and were granted, instead of $25,000, we got $12,500 to continue the service. In fiscal year 09, that was increased to $84,000, and at that time, Dial-A-Ride had two different buses in Newport and also Lincoln City. What Transit did is they took one Dial-A-Ride from each of those services and they put it into a loop service for the City of Lincoln City and for the City of Newport. So that really helped a lot. It became a 10-hour-a-day service, 7 days a week, 363 days a year. The only days it didn't run would be Thanksgiving and Christmas. That funding continued until this year. We thought it was a $90,000 allotment from the Budget Committee. We found out recently that it was $85,000, so we're $5,000 in trouble. The monies that have been put into that don't support the entire funding of a 10-hour-a-day system. With the Dial-A-Ride money at $156,000, approximately at $75 an hour, that pays for 2,080 hours of the service. The $85,000 from the budget, the Newport City budget, part of that I think comes from fancy room tax, pays for 1,133 hours. Which leaves $31,275 unfunded and absorbed by Lincoln County Transit. In addition to providing the service, they also, for at no charge, this I believe will be the third year that they are providing transportation for the Newport Marathon. And I believe this year it's going to three buses. They started at one, then two, and now three buses. They do not charge for that. They provided free shuttle for the clam bake during the years that we did that. They provided free shuttle for the 75th bridge anniversary, the NOAA opening. They do the CASA function for the kids. No, they don't charge for that. And for the second year in a row, they will be doing the transportation for the American Legion Convention. The tax base for the transit started in, I believe it was, well, it'll be 17 years ago. Transit started as a volunteer program with vans and volunteer drivers. It then was able to get a tax base of nine point something cents per thousand, which has never changed. Even at that, the current budget is over $4 million.
3 minutes.
Of the 4 million, only 14% comes from the tax base. 21% comes from grants written by CINDA. And Tribe gives 6%. They've created bus service to get kids to the colleges. We do, as the city of Newport, if I can find us in here, I believe we're 6%. No, we're not. I lost my number in here. Lincoln City is 0.6, and I did give that stuff to the council yesterday, but I lost my numbers. What is it?
2.5.
So I'm hoping that you will return the Loop bus to the budget. There's so much more that I could tell you, and I promise I won't take any more time. But please read the packet. I'm going to leave another set of materials because I didn't even talk to you about the service where we now connect every single day of the week, 4 times a day to Corvallis with return trip, 2 times a day to Amtrak with return trip. You can leave here before about 6 in the morning and you can be in Corvallis for class by 8. You can return home after class. You can leave Corvallis and you can be here by 8 o'clock in the morning, and that is 7 days a week.
Very good. Here's how this works. It would be best for those of you that are interested in a particular item on the budget to be here when we are going to discuss that budget item and to pop in at that time and remind us of your needs. We're always happy and willing to listen. That's a function of this budget committee. This is an opportunity to bring the city council together with individuals who have a desire to support the city in becoming members of the budget committee. So this is a joint venture, and we have a lot of good input and a lot of good commentary coming from this effort. We hope to have a 2-meeting session where we complete the entire budget. If for some reason we have to dip over to 3, we will. We're going to begin the 2013 agenda with an address from the city manager on the budget message, pages 1 through 7, 6 of your 1 through 6 of your budget report. Jim,
thank you, and I will be brief because we have a lot of ground to cover tonight. City's financial strength has come a long way over the past 3-4 years. Very importantly, our revenues meet or exceed our operating costs, so we're operating in the black. That's very good. In this year's budget, you will see some additions from last year's budget. We have funds for economic development. We've set aside funds for future capital purchases. We have some funds, and you'll see this in the facilities and grounds, to address deferred maintenance that we've been deferring for the past many, many years. And in the airport fund, you'll see a substantial increase, and that's associated with an FAA grant to do a major project this upcoming year. As far as highlights, our property tax, we're estimating an increase in 2.75%, so our total property tax increase of 2.75. So our property tax assumption is 5.78 million. You'll also see how we distribute our room tax. In past budgets, even though 54% goes to the general fund and 46% goes for promotion and tourism, we kind of blended some of those numbers and went directly from the room tax fund to the airport, and the room tax fund to Parks and Rec. And
It really didn't give a good, clear picture of how much room tax was going to the airport, the promotion part of it, how much promotion room tax money was going to Parks and Rec, and then how much general fund monies were going to the various funds. So in this year's budget, you will see the entire 54% going to the general fund, and if there are general fund monies to go with the Parks and Rec, you'll see that transfer for it. So it's a lot clearer this year and a lot easier to understand. Franchise fees are assumed to be $900,000. Utility rates, when you get to that section, there's the assumption of a 15% increase in the water and wastewater rates and a 5% increase in the infrastructure fee and the storm drain fee. As far as room tax, we are going to stay constant at the $2.3 million. This year, it looks like we're going to hit about $2.3 million, and we just don't see enough increase to warrant trying to bump that up. As far as expenditures, be aware that we have three bargaining units, and the agreements say that for police, there'll be a 2% COLA. For both the public works and fire, there's a 1.5% increase July 1st. And a 1.5% increase January 1st. So those are built into the budget. With the non-represented employees, we have a 2% COLA budgeted. That's effective July 1st. As far as our unfunded liability, we will continue on a 20-year actuarial timeline. So there's 20.5% included in that. You will notice that the PERS, which is our police and fire retirement, there's an additional $120,000 program because of PERS increases. As far as employees, we have two new part-time employees budgeted in finance. We have one new employee full-time for a records clerk in the police. And we also have, but in the fire department, we added a firefighter this year, and so we have programmed an additional firefighter in next year's budget. We will continue to contract out our legal services. Our insurances are roughly 10% increase for liability insurance and property damage, and our workers' comp is estimated to go up 6%, as well as health insurance is supposed to go up to 6%. For the most part, our cost centers, we're holding materials and services materials and supplies constant to last year's budget. And let's see, the other highlight. Again, I mentioned the airport fund. You'll see a dramatic increase in transfer from the general fund to the airport fund, and that's primarily for a major project with a runway overlay and the purchase of a park truck. With that, those are the highlights. I think we'll get into the details as we get on to department, so that's all I have. Thank you.
Very good. Any commentary from anyone on that?
Just a question. Why is the liability and property insurance taking a 10% jump? Is there a reason for that? Is it unique to Newport, or is that across the board industry?
You know the answer.
That was across the board, not unique to Newport. We talked to the insurer today. That's just the rate for everybody. The property isn't really subject to much experience. Subject to much in the way of loss. I mean, the property tends to stay there, not like they have major fires or tsunami or anything like that. That's just an increase in the property insurance for everybody. Thanks.
There's a call for a public hearing concerning the use of state shared revenue.
There are.
You had another commentary. Oh, I'm
just
sorry.
A quick question and a budget message on page 6. It starts at the top with the word times, period. And page 5 doesn't have anything that leads into it. So is there like a sentence missing or a phrase missing there?
Well, this is the deal. When I printed this off, I gave it to David. The one I read on my computer was the final draft. By the time I printed it, I printed the second to final draft. So, and I never actually read it because it was the one on my computer till today. So I will hand out the next one a clean copy. It's substantially the same. There is no major differences other than the typos that you caught. are in there, so I apologize for that, but that's the reason.
I just thought maybe there's something missing that we, but not nonsense.
No, there isn't. I just printed off the second to last draft.
I call the attention of the Budget Committee, please, to page number 4. In that, a statement, there are two funds, the Parks and Recreation Fund, the Airport Fund, rely on transfers from other funds to a degree that may soon be unsustainable. The council may want and should consider financial policies establishing limits of transfers to assist in long-term planning of these operations. Just calling your attention to that, that is something that is asked for by the city manager, and we probably need to give that attention.
Yeah, and the reason I mentioned that in Parks and Rec is the best example. They raise revenue through their programs and activities. So if they can know going into a budget year, this is how much money you're going to get from the city, then they can plan their programs and activities and their fees accordingly to match their expenses. So that they just don't have, you know, the idea that they're going to do whatever they want, however they want. It causes them to be more fiscally prudent and act more like a business, because they know this is how much money they're getting from the city. Anything up and beyond that to match their expenses is going to have to come from the programs they plan, the activities they plan, and how they staff and how they charge for those activities.
So what's new in the Parks and Rec this year from last year? I understand the airport is higher because of the 5% match. And if you took the 5% match away from the airport, which is unique to this year only, it would be back where it was the year before and has been. But with Parks and Rec, there's quite an increase yet. I didn't identify anything that was, a major impact on Parks and Rec. So why the increase in the general fund?
What you're probably seeing is an increase in the allocation of general fund monies.
Right.
And that is because last year, part of the general fund monies that were coming from the room tax went directly from the room tax to the Parks and Rec. So you really didn't get to see that full effect of general fund money. So now it's going to the general fund first, then to Parks and Rec. So now it's clearly identified how much general fund money it takes to operate the Parks and Rec.
We've been looking forward to that for quite a while.
Yeah,
it's about time to do that, yes, ma'am.
I have another question just on the room tax money. So when it's out of that, the non-general fund piece of the room tax, does that show up then as room tax? I haven't gotten to those budgets.
Yes, when you see that, so for Parks and Rec and the airport, you'll see a transfer of the promotion and marketing part of the tourism money going to airport, and the same marketing money going to Parks and Rec. So you know that's the marketing part, and marketing funds have limited uses, and so it's much more clear.
David Allen has a commentary in reference to FY14 proposed budget, summary of all funds.
So right after the budget message, Jim, there is a summary of all the budget funds showing beginning fund balances. It's not a page.
Actually,
just go right after Jim's signature on the budget message, turn the next page. You'll see what's referenced as a summary of all funds. So Jim, I'm looking at the beginning fund balances in the summary for general funds. We're starting the year at $2.12 million. And as you know, if you look on page 45, everyone, that will show the revenue that goes into the general fund, including property tax and fees and other things. So page 45 will list the revenue that is utilized by the general fund. So my question is, usually the unappropriated ending fund balance for a fiscal year should hopefully match the beginning fund balance. Otherwise, what's that showing is you're spending more during the course of that year than what you're taking in. And right now, for this next fiscal year, we're showing a beginning fund balance of $2.12 million and an unappropriated ending fund balance, which is referenced UEFB, of $1.135 million. So right now, it looks like for this next fiscal year, we're spending close to $1 million more than the amount that we're taking in as revenue, which is shown in part on page 45. I'd like, at least over the course of this budget discussion, to find out why we're depleting our beginning fund balance to the extent in which we're going to have half as much at the end of this year. And is that a trend that we have to be aware of? Because if we keep depleting the beginning fund balance at the end of the year, it's going to get less and less, and that's going to create some issues, and we're going to be depending solely on the money we're taking in each year, and that's not really the goal we're trying to set as a council and as a city. So I'd like to get, perhaps from you, Jim, or David, some discussion about that, because that jumped out at me when I looked at the summary.
And I can try to address it now, and I will let David jump in as well. Part of it is one-time cost.
I understand
and
that.
And just some larger one-time costs. The matching for the airport project is going to be $300,000. An additional, so there's some other costs. So that's probably one of the biggest ones. You'll also see, and it shows up as, I guess, operating costs, future savings or savings for future capital projects. You'll see $100,000 in the fire department in there. So that shows up as a cost, even though it's not. How can I explain that?
For the reserves, it's not appropriate, but it is a use of funds.
So you'll see a couple one-time costs that's driving it. Another times you'll see some reserves for future purchases. Do you want to add anything?
I guess that doesn't really address the issue I'm trying to bring up, Jim, which is beyond the one-time cost, and I understand that, are we now undertaking a scenario when we're going to have annual costs increasing to the extent in which we're not able to save as a beginning fund balance enough to reach a comparable ending fund balance? And is that going to be, as we move into the 3 to 5 year period, be an issue and something we have to look at?
I don't think so. We're not going to be
all right.
Doing runway overlays every year.
Well, David, is you share that perspective, or I'm just curious.
If you look at the $1 million difference and you subtract $300,000 for the added match, one-time match from the airport, and $145,000 for capital reserves, which may or may not be one time. I mean, what we're really trying to do, and Phil is the best example of that, is he needs $500,000 items, basically, which we never have in one operating year. So he tries to set aside a fair amount of money each year. The intent is to continue that, I'm assuming, because it's the only way we can really do it without borrowing. We'll never have it out of normal operating funds. So if you subtract $400,000 from $1 million, but certainly $300,000, you have $800,000. And what that means basically is that the operating revenue is exceeded by the operating expenses. And it means then that the ending fund balance, and this is just a budget. There's nothing sacrosanct about this, and it may be off. But it means that this budget is realized, then we will come into next year with less than we will need by city policy that we'll need for the beginning fund balance for fiscal year 2018.
Right.
That's not healthy. And what I would recommend that we do is no later than the forecast that we will have on December 31st to say, there's some stuff we can't spend. Because I do believe it is the wrong trend. And I'll say that after 3 years of everything that's been the right trend. But I believe that fiscal year 14 is going to be a pivotal year. And one of the issues is in the general fund, you have $8.8 million of cash coming in. You have $2 million of budgetary revenue, which isn't cash at all. And it's transfers and allocation of overhead to the using funds. That's becoming very burdensome. And if you want to find out how burdensome, ask Tim Gross next week when we do water and wastewater and everything. That's becoming burdensome. And it's to the tune of about $800,000 to $900,000. It's really the primary reason that the general fund and Tim's own fund, which is engineering administration, balance, because we tax other funds, primarily Tim's. So I don't think the situation is precarious, but I think it's a pivotal year. In an ideal world, and Jim and I have talked about this many times, we'd like to have operating revenues equal operating expenses. Mm-hmm. $8 million in, $8 million out. We've already exceeded that. And the only way we really get through this budget year, in my opinion, is because of the transfers that we receive primarily from room tax and the allocation of overhead to the other funds. I think that the council needs to look very closely, starting September 30th, at what is happening this year, this fiscal year, the one starting July 1st, to be sure that each, and look primarily at operating income and operating expenses. So if you look at, let's take $700,000 a month, that's $8.4 million. That's more or less the cash coming in and out. If after the first quarter, we have 3 times $700,000, $2.1 million coming in and $2.4 million going out, it's time right then to do something. And we could do something then. But I think we want to be very careful, because for everything that's gone right in the last 3 years, it's a pivotal year, and it could be something that if we didn't pay attention, and there's cities and counties all over this country that didn't pay attention, I think we could be saying, what in the world happened? Because we have done some very necessary things.
Okay.
Added staffing, minimal, but we've added staffing that needed to be added, and you've heard me say that many times. We've started to reserve for capital purchases that we have to be adding for. But property taxes will go up 2.75% a year. There is nothing else. And so if your payroll goes up 5.5 to 6% a year, and your property taxes go up 2.75% a year, what do you have left? Just the beginning fund balance, mm-hmm. and just the taxes to the other cost centers and the other funds.
Okay.
That's probably a long-winded answer to your question, because I basically agree with Jim. I mean, it's a positive situation we've created, but it can become unraveled at any time.
That was the reason for my question, is it seems like we have created a positive situation, and I just saw that trend and was curious, is that a trend? That is a one-year trend, or is it something we have to watch over to make sure it doesn't become a yearly trend and undo the work we've done in the previous years? So that was my question.
I think
the
we
reason
have to watch it carefully.
Good.
Is there a chance we could get a five-minute tutorial on any fund balances and beginning fund balances? I believe the city has had some guidelines I've been working with and so forth. And for us newbies, we're not familiar with what those guidelines are. And
that would do that now if you wanted to, or privately, one-on-one, whatever it would be helpful. Because I have prepared that in case we were asked.
Or leave that up to the chairman.
I have a question, too.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is kind of jumping forward. I wasn't at the pre-budget meeting, but there was this little handout, I guess, that you guys discussed and everything. And I just have a quick question on that. Is this appropriate time to ask that or not?
Well,
because we're talking numbers.
Probably, if you think it's appropriate, okay.
It's a quick question and just some clarification. It's on page 4, and it says we have $13.86 million in cash, and of that amount, $4.5 million is discretionary. And so my question to you is, discretionary meaning you can spend it anywhere, or is it earmarked for something? Because discretionary means to me that you can use it wherever you want. So I was just curious where that's coming out.
I don't have that in front of me. It was a pre-budget.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
We don't have that.
Okay. So. That's just a very simple question, because it kind of will help with some other things as we move forward, because that's a pretty bold statement, and I just want to make sure that we're talking discretionary.
It is, for most purposes, completely discretionary.
Okay.
But that means the general fund portion of the room tax and the portion that remains in the bank from the receipt of property taxes,
right.
The great majority of which is received in November and December.
Okay.
Janet, you had a commentary?
Well, I think that it's partly clarification, too. You're kind of giving us a warning. And so I'm wondering, we're talking about adding staff, but then if we have to think about a mid-year correction, you're doing a big cost center staff again. So as we go through this, where do you suggest we look? You talked about the transfers between the funds, that, as you call them, the taxes. And that's a little buried from how I look at this, so it's hard to just say, no, we're not going to do it. So should we be really sharpening pencils when we look at something like the airport and say, you know, we can't be putting in $500,000 as an operating budget there? How do you exist with less?
How does the airport exist?
Just as an example, I mean, just where do you sharpen the pencil if that's what you're telling us to do?
The last place I would do it would be personnel. Personnel situation, staffing personnel in some departments has been, in my opinion, far beyond aggravating. It's been unhealthy. And I just don't think we can sustain that.
Back to my question. Are we going to allow time for a little tutorial or not?
Allow time for
David to give us an update.
I would just rather have the printout. Got it.
We are going to have a break at 7 o'clock. Okay. Would that be appropriate?
I'd be happy to. I think it's very important because it really drives everything. Yeah. How much you have in the bank when you start a fiscal year determines a whole lot of what happens in the balance of that fiscal year. And there are policies, many of which this budget does not adhere to.
Right.
And part of it is because the policies are 2 years old and almost experimental. They need to be updated. And in some cases, we simply set aside too much that, for example, Tim Gross.
You have that ready now?
Sure.
Oh, well, let's do it.
I didn't quite finish with Janet, but.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's just get it done. We want to be as efficient as we can.
2 years ago, we discovered that there were no financial policies. And cities, school districts, everybody should have financial policies. And they cover a wide range of things. But the primary thing that was most missing was, what is the city council's policy on unappropriated ending fund balances? In other words, that amount of cash that cannot be spent, even by the city council, barring a catastrophic event. Where I come from, you always wanted 8.33%. 1 month spent. You get no cash in, and you still have the cash to operate for 1 month. That's not unreasonable. So we made that the de facto unappropriate ending fund balance for all funds, with one exception. General fund started that way, but increased by 2.5% each year until at least it reached at least 15%. And we did that for lots of reasons, because the general fund is the primary source of your discretionary funds, and if it doesn't have any money into a hard year, and I'm going to use Peggy's husband as an example, 2 or 3 years ago, the only time I talked to him, he had in a smaller fund, general fund than we had, he had $2.8 million in ending fund balance. And when the economy basically collapsed, he had to lay off no one and cut no programs because he had it in the general fund. And when he went into a new fiscal year, he had that amount of money, hoping, of course, that the economy wouldn't collapse for 5 years because nobody can plan for that. So we said 8.33% 1 month spending, except for the general fund, which will increase 2.5% each year, which means this year it is at 13.33% of the operating revenue. We said then that the contingency for all funds would be 2% with a couple of exceptions, and this is where we were too conservative, too cautious, that water and wastewater would be considerably more than that, $500,000 or 20% in the case of water, $300,000 or 10%, I believe, in the case of wastewater, which makes no sense because then you've got no money to give to Tim to do the capital projects, as you well know, that need to be done. Should there be some contingency? Yes, but the contingency for capital projects is within the projects themselves. And so what we're now doing now is rewriting the policy that we'll bring to the council that says, probably we were too conservative because you're going to have $700,000 or $900,000 sitting around that can't be touched, and that doesn't make any sense. And so this budget has $50,000 of unappropriated fund balance and a percentage, but not meeting the requirements of the operating revenue for contingency. So the policy basically said that, and it said that if the governing body adopted a budget that didn't meet the requirements, then when we received the audit from the previous year, the staff would bring to the city council a corrective plan that would return to those minimum requirements. But the minimum requirements in some funds are simply too unreasonable, at least in our opinion.
That doesn't mean that you stopped unappropriated any fund balances or that you stopped contingencies or eliminate them. It says you'd be more reasonable in what you do because Tim doesn't need $500,000 sitting in a contingency unavailable for capital projects. He might need $100,000 or $50,000, but as you well know, projects themselves have their own contingency. Why double up on the contingency in capital construction funds? So that's the short version, and we're rewriting that to be more reasonable after 2 years of experience.
Very good. I'm going to move on to our agenda. We need to be hustling here just a little bit. It calls for a public hearing concerning the use of state shared revenues, correct?
Yeah, it does.
Do we have to close one hearing and open the other, or?
It's required to be, correct me if I'm wrong, it's required to be brought up tonight, but it actually happens at the budget adoption. But David, you may...
A hearing is required tonight as part of the budget committee process under state law, and then a second one is required at the time of adoption. So we do it twice just to comply with that.
We had to go back to
November
last year.
Right. So... the hearing, so that's a separate hearing, but it's to comply with state law. And then David or Jim will explain what the state shared revenue is that we're talking about.
The amount?
And the amount and where it's coming from in case some folks aren't aware of where the amount's coming from. It's part of the allocation coming from
part
the state.
Part of the allocation coming from the state along with the state liquor, state...
Right. I mean,
that's basically sure. It goes into the general fund and is used for general fund purposes.
So do we close this meeting and have a public hearing? Is that part of the budget committee?
It's part of the...
All right, so we'll call for a public hearing concerning the use of state shared revenues. Do you have those revenues in front of you or not?
They're budgeted. I don't know exactly what
is there anybody, is there anyone here tonight who has a comment to make about the use of the state shared revenues that are received by the city of Newport?
On page 45, Robert, you'll see for the revenues coming in proposed, you'll see a line item, state shared revenue, and I think, I'm not sure if this, well, the cigarette tax and the liquor proration and the state shared revenue, I'm not sure.
It's the $110,000.
Right. But then we have, so there's a line item there. There it is. It's $110,000. So that's what we're proposing coming into this.
Does anybody have any commentary about the state shared revenues? No comment? That hearing should be closed. Let's open the second batch here, public hearing on the City of Newport's fiscal year 2013-2014 proposed budget and the Urban Renewal Agency fiscal year 13-14 proposed budget. That public hearing is now open. Does anyone have any commentary regarding these two items? If so, speak now. Since there's no comment on this, the public hearing on those two items is closed. I call your attention to the budget presentation for the general fund. Pages 10 to 20 will start in your budget book, and the cost center is on page 25.
What's relationships?
Page number 10, we'll start with.
Excuse me, what's number 6 there that you skipped over? Relationships on the agenda.
That's something I had in case I was asked, and I had that.
If anybody has any relationships they want to talk about, don't. All right.
That was like,
here we go. I don't know.
I know.
We're not talking about any relationships. Here we go. All right, let's go on to page, start beginning at page number 10, city administration. We're going from pages 10 through page 20. Anybody have any comment to make on any of these items in this issue here? Take your time to look through these. Yes.
I was hoping we could follow this because we have somebody who's here from Sun River. And so
you want to go to the cost center, page 25?
This handout, if we could follow it in this order, it would help.
I am trying to follow it in that order.
Okay.
Yeah, I went by this relationship. I'm on the general fund now.
Okay,
I'm talking about fire. Yeah. We're talking about fire. Yeah. The fire chief has to go back to Ben tonight.
Oh, the fire chief has to go back to Ben. All right. Bill, do you want to make your presentation first. Let's just do it to accommodate you.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Phil Page, Fire Chief, and the budget that you've got there starting on page 25 is fairly straightforward and not a lot of changes. I'll try and be pretty quick and kind of go through the highlights of what has changed. There are not added positions for the new fiscal year, although technically from what was budgeted at the beginning of this current fiscal year, we did add a firefighter paramedic in December, and the way we paid for that was in savings of overtime and temporary help in our regular budget. So this new budget does include continuing with that position. We had requested a relief firefighter position on top of that. The money is just not there for that. I'm hoping that some miracle will happen next year and we can look at that.
So is that the new position the city manager mentioned?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's really not.
It's not.
It's added, but it's.
But he also got a new role too.
So, and the new building is one thing that we have budgeted $50,000 to make some improvements to that. We could run an engine out of there. We're currently running a rescue out of that building. The other kind of highlights, I guess, the goals for the next year include continuing to strengthen our volunteer staffing. We've been able to increase that a little bit. It's challenging to get volunteers who can commit to the time that's required for that. It is also not, even though the term is volunteer, it's not like it's free. Turnout gear is about $2,000. There are uniforms, pagers, radios, that sort of thing. So it is a pretty sizable expense when we do add volunteers, but we're hoping to increase our volunteer membership numbers. As I mentioned, reconfiguring the Agate Beach Station just a little bit. It's not full remodel by any means, but to be able to run an engine out of there. We have lacked in our preventative maintenance in the past, and we've been working on trying to improve that. Our apparatus, breathing apparatus, as well as fire engines and so forth, stations and grounds. And then we are looking at more collaborative ways of operating with our neighbors. And so kind of we budgeted a little bit of money there for a new structure if that does happen, where we could share some administrative functions with some of the neighboring departments. And as Jim and David both mentioned, we're trying to tuck some money away for future capital purchases. And some of the big ones are a fire engine costs about $500,000. A ladder truck costs about $1 million. A rescue unit, anywhere between $150,000 to $300,000. So those are big ticket items, and we are not budgeting to buy one of any of those this year, but we did put $100,000 in there towards that. Last year we bought two engines and a rescue that were 18 years old, I think. The rescue was newer, about 10 years old. And that was kind of a finger in the dike to get us through until we could save up enough money to buy a new engine. So we're working on that. The other big expense that is going to be coming up is our self-contained breathing apparatus, the air packs that the firefighters wear. It's over 10 years old. 10 years is considered the useful life, so it's considered obsolete. We applied for a grant this year. My fingers are still crossed, but it's kind of the end of when they're handing them out, so I'm not real hopeful. That is going to be with compressors and things that are required to upgrade about $500,000 probably. So I think we put $100,000 to start saving some money there. And that was cut down from the request of $200,000, I think. So I think it's a lean budget. It's a bigger budget than it was last year, but most of those increases are really kind of putting money in savings for future purposes. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Chief Page, have you benefited from the revision of the budget process, giving you more opportunity to have a hands-on situation with your budget?
Well, I've only been through one process before this, and my experience last year was I felt like I had pretty good input last year, too. So I think it's been I'd like to have more money, of course, but I think it's been a good process.
Questions? Anybody? Gentlemen? Ladies? Yes. Okay.
Since you're number one.
Oh, hold it first.
On your efforts to get eight more additional volunteers, do you have in your budget right now then the outfitting of those?
It'll be tight, and some of the volunteers that we're bringing on, it's a lot of training required to be a firefighter and an EMT and so forth. So some of the volunteers that we brought on more recently, we're allowing them to be just an EMT, for example. The turnout year for firefighting, that saves us $2,000. Of course, we don't have another firefighter to throw at it, but I think we'll be okay. I hope we're challenged, because that means we've got more volunteers than we can outfit, but if we end up with that problem, wash cars or something.
Good. Janet?
Just kind of wanting to walk through, because we're seeing it in a little different format than we have in past years, so I'm trying to relate your commentary to the line items. When you were talking about the reserve, your $100,000, that's reserved for both the possibility of new trucks as well as the new respirators you want, so that's all possible
equipment
you might need?
Under...
You might have...
I'm on page 27.
Ours is kind of summarized.
I've got a little more detail here, if I can translate. Okay, reserve for future capital, that one is actually the money that you are setting aside for the breathing apparatus, future purchase. The capital outlay has a total of $250,000 in there. Mm-hmm. Of that, $100,000 would be money that we're tucking away for an engine. It's put under capital outlay, though, so if we did end up with an opportunity, a matching grant or something like that, it's appropriated so that we can spend it if we had the opportunity. Of course, we'd have to get approval for that, but it would be in the budget for expenditures. The other things included in that $250,000 include $50,000 for capital equipment acquisition, just our normal doing business, and that's where also there's the $50,000 for the new fire station, basically to remove some walls and put in another overhead door so we can run an engine out of there. And then there's also $50,000 in there for paving at the drill ground, which we budgeted for this year. We just haven't done it because there's a building to be demolished and we're waiting for that.
You said paving?
Paving, yes.
Paving?
Asphalt.
I know what paving is. You're paving. I didn't hear what.
Oh, the drill ground. Okay. We've got a training facility.
Speak up, please. Have a nice soft voice.
No. Sorry.
That's okay.
Then
up above, there's a line on property services, and I think that's probably just. If I look at fiscal year 11, that used to be like $2,500, and now it's $75,000.
So couple other changes, and I don't think that's one of them really, but the dispatching has changed quite a bit the way that's budgeted.
Right.
Dispatching costs and the 911 revenues are also a little bit different.
That one, property services increase there. On page 27.
Yeah, he's trying to relate, he has the detailed budget, so he's trying to relate that.
You want the breakdown of 75?
What are property services?
Yeah.
That would be, well, there are some increases there. Actually, probably the biggest increase is on our main stations, the big overhead doors. We've got money budgeted to replace two of those. Those are, let's see.
So kind of property services is more maintenance, whereas your capital outlay is things that it would be.
That's really the maintenance and repair type of things.
You ought to call it maintenance or repairs.
It includes some
property
things,
services, all right.
You know, some big tools and things like that. For instance, we bought two fire engines last year, and we bought a lot of the tools and equipment and hose and so forth out of our regular budget, but we didn't have enough to complete that project. So there's some.
If I could just add, property maintenance, this is electrical expense, garbage expense, maintenance, repair. The biggest line item is an increase in vehicle maintenance from $15,000 last year to $30,000 this year. So that's probably the biggest damage, just because the engines, even though they're new to us, they're still used engines, so we're out of the equation.
And they require a lot of maintenance, and it's always expensive.
Yep.
Very good.
I'd like to just follow up to Janet's question, because this is a new document as far as formatting, and I guess just to make sure I'm clear on everything, on page 27, Phil, when you were talking about capital outlay, I'm looking at page 26 under the capital request. It seems like that's what you were referring to, some of those items, correct?
Page 26.
And in your general description overview?
Oh, yeah.
So that's part of it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to correlate the two. But, you know, like for some of the line items, like property services, I'm thinking that if this is the format we're going to use for the next several years, perhaps we can have a glossary of terms so we can describe what we mean by a particular line item, because we don't have detail anymore like we used to, and we're trying to have a leaner document. But when you do that, you lose the ability to allow the budget committee and the public to really understand what's going on. And I know there's a more detailed budget worksheet that you have at the staff level. That is a public record if you want to disclose it, but I still think for this document, we should probably know what are the things we want just more fully described, not just for us, but for the public, because I'm trying to figure out some stuff here as well, and I've been in this process for 12 years, and every year something changes, and it's like, what's that? So that's probably a good idea for the future. I'm not saying let's have a new budget document, but let's have a glossary or something that provides that.
What I was going to say, you'll have it tomorrow morning.
So I'd like to tail in what you have to say, David, because I got to tell you, this budget, I'm not fond of it. It was very hard. I'm looking at summary figures, and I'm trying to figure out, and I'm tossing back pages.
Right.
So it's just not explanatory. And clearly, you have the information. You have your little cheat sheet there. I see it. And you can detail this stuff. And that's information that would be very helpful for me. And we're just on fire now. So I can't wait to get to Public Works and some of the other departments, because I have so many questions, and you know, we could be here all night looking at this stuff. Whereas if I were to see the breakdown, then I'd have a better idea and a better understanding.
That's what I'm saying.
But this document does not do this at all. It does a disservice.
That's something that needs to be addressed.
Just a comment.
Just operating expenses, operating what are we operating? Fire trucks, are we operating fax machines, etc. Needs to be. As I say, I follow you a little bit. I don't know. How many of the budget committee sitting here right now, to be honest about it, are a little bit lost? Anybody a little bit lost? I'm a little bit lost. I'm the chair of the committee.
I'm actually feeling like I'm trying to relearn how this budget document works, because, again, I've been kind of looking at it from a different perspective with prior documents. And when it changes in format and there's less information available, then I have difficulty tracking what's going on. So. And I'm not speaking even as a budget committee member, but when we get it to the council level, I might feel like I'm at a loss unless I get more information, and perhaps that glossary David's providing is going to help. But still, I know there's more detailed worksheets, and sometimes those were included in prior budget documents, but it's difficult for me to even follow what right now what's going on, but perhaps this is a learning curve for several of us.
All right, David, have the final word on this before we take a break.
Everything below payroll is exactly what as it was last year. Those are called object classifications, and they exactly as they've been presented in the last 2 years. I don't know what happened before that. Payroll was broken down into wages, salaries, overtime, that sort of thing. And I'd anticipated this question, although I don't understand the trouble with the object classifications. This is the document that is every single line item. It's roughly half again the size of this one. It has every single account, and it doesn't. This one does not have the 40 pages of filler that's in this one. If you'd like, I'll have this for you a week from tonight. I don't think it'll make it simpler, and I personally shy away from that because my experience in 20 years in public finance is that governing bodies will focus on a $50 line item when $1 million in payroll goes unchallenged. I think that's the wrong emphasis. However, you're the boss, and if you'd like me to have 14 plus whatever we need for the public available next week, I can do that. But you're looking at about a 250-page document, 16 funds, and thousands of accounts that eventually summarize to what you've got right in front of you. But I'll be happy to do that if that is the consensus.
I don't like, is that in a PDF format?
No.
Can it be put into a PDF format?
Sure.
I'll take it in a PDF format, and you can just email it to me.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. There's no table of content. There's a lot of things this doesn't consist of yet. This is strictly from our financial system, which doesn't have a table of contents. It doesn't have summary pages. It doesn't have what is obviously the filler here, but the various summaries, table of contents, even page numbering is not in this document.
This is what we're going to do.
That's okay.
We're going to go take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to hear from the police department. And then as we move along, if this continues to be a problem and we see that, then we're going to have to go this route, even if it costs that. We'll see if it happens. It might just be we're not used to it. Let's see if we can get more used to it. Maybe a 5-minute break will help. You got 5 minutes, you're on the clock.
There's a simple solution. They could just make this summary sheet.
All right, so they're being asked.
We have some late developments and